Amen. At the conclusion of this worship service this morning, we are praying that all of us will know more from the Word of God than we know now. We appreciate Brother William Prowl for directing us in such a meaningful and spirited song service thus far this morning. Grateful for the reading of our scripture lesson by Brother James McCullough, and a meaningful prayer by Brother Clifford Prowl. We are grateful for the presence of all of you, and we extend a warm and hearty welcome to those who are visiting with us in our worship service today. We look forward to you being with us for the entire day. I'm standing before you to introduce to you our guest speaker, and I'm going to do that very shortly. However, before we do that, we want to comply with a special request that has been made. Brother Rux has requested that we have a special prayer on behalf of Brother Jarvis Rux. All of us know Brother Jarvis, a very young man. He suffered a very serious heart attack. He is now in intensive care, and we want to have a special prayer on his behalf. And in this special prayer, we want to also, in a special way, remember our very own Sister Consuela Davis. So we're going to ask at this time that you bow with us as we go together to God in prayer, especially on behalf of the two persons that have been named. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, compassionate, all-wise God, our Heavenly Father, we come before your exalted throne at this time with attitudes of gratitude, yet with serious concerns about some of your children. We come to you recognizing that indeed in you we live and move and have our being, and recognizing that you encourage us to cast all of our cares upon you, knowing that you do care for us. We acknowledge our dependence upon you and recognize that without you we can do nothing. But we also are delighted to acknowledge that through you and with you we can do all things, and that you have all power in your hands. We are grateful that you are the source of life, the source of health, and the source of all healing. We come before you on behalf of Brother Jarvis Rux, who is presently hospitalized in intensive care, having suffered a heart attack. We know that in your wisdom you understand exactly what his condition is and the seriousness of it. We pray to God that you will intervene in a special way as you work through the medical professionals who are in attendance to his needs health-wise, that you'll be with them, that you'll guide them. We pray that no treatment or medication will be prescribed or administered that will not contribute to his recovery, to his restoration of health. We pray to God that whatever treatments or procedures that have to be done, that you will guide the hands of the doctors who carry out those particular treatments. We pray to God that good results will come from the efforts of the medical care providers. Pray that Jarvis will hold to your unchanging hand. Pray that you'll be with his family, that you'll strengthen them, that they will invest fully their trust in you, and that they won't grow weary, that they won't despair during this time of illness that he is experiencing and this time of hospitalization through which he is going presently. We join together this morning as we lift him up in prayer, in requesting that you will see to it that he is restored to a good condition of health. All praise, glory, and honor going to you. Additionally, in a very special way, we come to you on behalf of our own Sister Consuela Davis, who is presently hospitalized but who has been taken out of critical care. We are grateful, dear God, for you sustaining her and being with her up to this particular point. We are thankful that you've been with her husband, her children, her mother and sister and other family members, and many others of her brothers and sisters and your son who love her. We pray to God that she'll have the rest that she needs. We pray that she'll be restored to a good condition of health. We are praying that the process won't take as long as it has been estimated by the doctors. We are praying, dear God, that no surgery will be required, and we are grateful that so far there's no evidence of any kind of impairment as a result of the problem that she'd had. And we pray, dear God, that she will not suffer any impairments, that she will maintain the proper usage of all of her mental faculties and her physical faculties. She'll be able to, once she's restored to a good condition of health, get up and go about her regular activities once more and be reunited with her family and continue to be a good wife and a good mother to her children. We pray to God that she will simply trust in you with all of her heart and not lean to her own understanding, but in all of her ways acknowledge you, knowing that indeed you will direct her paths. Strengthen her and comfort her, console her and provide her with all that she needs, and be especially be with the doctors and medical staff persons who are in attendance to her care. We pray not only for these two, but for all of those who are on our sick and shut-in list. Provide all of them with all of the things that they need. And keep us all in your protective care. It is in your Son's blessed name that we give thanks and pray. Amen. Why does my heart feel so bad?
Oh, why does my soul feel so happy and gay? Are all around me burdens fall, yet I'm not worried at all. For if I break, King Jesus will why I sing, in Jesus will roll our burdens away.
Amen. We are delighted to welcome to Hart Street for this special series of meetings a man whom I have known for many years. I believe I met him for the very first time in 1966 or 67. He was just a young'un at that time. I believe he was about 12 when I met him the first time, or thereabouts. I'm a few years his senior. But Brother Anthony Booker and I have formed a lasting friendship many years ago that has continued through the years. I appreciate him as a personal friend, as a colleague in the gospel, as a committed Christian, devoted, talented, and dedicated gospel preacher, as a good father, and as a very loving and compassionate and obedient husband. When it's appropriate to be obedient. There's nothing wrong with being an obedient husband. When husbands and wives are to submit themselves to each other. He still is the head of the house. But when she says jump, he asks how high. But he's been married to his lovely wife, Ira, for the last 27 years. And we are delighted that she's with him today. And he has one of his six sons with him today. He doesn't have any, they don't have any daughters. Yeah, hard ankles only. But he has some very fine sons. The youngest one is with us. And I'm going to ask the wife, Sister Ira, if she'll stand. I'm going to ask the son to stand. He's back there. Some of you might have heard of him. I think the Titans could use him tonight. Yeah, he's a great football player. I think he's been recruited and checked on and sought after by several universities. They just went down this past week to check on Auburn University, and they're going to be checking on some other places. He's a senior this year, but we're expecting great things out of him. You know, I'd hate to meet him in a dark alley on a dark night, but he's a very talented football player. We're delighted to have them. Brother Booker has been preaching for a number of years. He served a number of congregations, including the Front Street Church at Milan, Tennessee, the Broadway Church in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, the church in Centerville, Tennessee, and for the last 6 years, he has served as minister for the Bird Street Church of Christ in Shelbyville, Tennessee. He has received his higher education at the Nashville School of Preaching, as well as David Lipscomb University. He has appeared on numerous lectureships. He and his wife jointly conduct marriage enrichment retreats and seminars and workshops. He's a highly sought after young man, very talented, and the Lord has used him in a mighty way in conducting gospel meetings across the country, and we are honored and delighted to welcome him to Hart Street to share with us the Word of God in this special series of meetings. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to those of you who do not yet know him and present to those of you who already know him, our guest evangelist from the Bird Street Church of Christ, Brother Anthony Booker. Brother William Prowler is going to lead us in one more song, and the next voice you hear will be that of Brother Anthony Booker. What number, Brother William? Okay, Wings of a Dove. All righty.
21 in our supplemental books. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, when troubles surround us,
body grows weak and the spirit grows numb when these things beset us. He doesn't forget us. He sends down his love or on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. Oh, God sends his pure, sweet, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, oh, he searched for land in various ways. Trouble he had some, but wasn't forgotten. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. Oh, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow.
Good morning to everyone. I wished I could say Brother Jones was an obedient husband, but he's not. Told him not to say all of that stuff. I told him I was an hour-long preacher and I need all the time I can get. So he assumed he would take up 30 minutes of my time introducing me, and that only leave me about 15 minutes. But I'm going to try to get as much in the next 15 minutes as I possibly can. Y'all got your Bibles this morning? In the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the chapter is number 4. Those of you that are students of the Bible, you already know that this particular context of 1 Peter is in the context of chapter 3. If you notice how verse 1 starts off, he starts off by saying, "For as much." King James Version says, other versions says, may use the word therefore. Others may use the word so then or wherefore. In other words, what he's about to say in verse 1 has some connection to the preceding verses in chapter 3. So when he says in verse number 1, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. He says, I want you to arm yourselves with the same mind. Now, when you look at chapter 3 and you notice the preceding verses, especially the latter part of chapter 3, he talks about Christ's suffering. He talks especially in verse number 17, that how he had suffered. And then he talks about in verse number 18, how he had suffered for our sins. And he goes on to say that he even died for our sins. And after you understand all that Christ went through for your sake and for mine, Peter then turns and says, for as much as Christ have suffered for you. I want you to arm yourselves with the same mind. Now, you see that word armed? It's actually a military term. It actually talks about there are some things you are going to have to put on. You are going to have to arm yourself with some things. You remember over in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about that we ought to arm ourselves or put on the whole armor of God. There are some things you and I are going to have to put on if we are going to fight this battle, this spiritual battle with Satan. So here Peter says, I want you to arm yourself with not the breastplate. He does not say with having your feet shod with the preparation of peace. He does not say arm yourself with the sword. But what he says is, I want you to arm yourself with the same mind that Christ had. Now, I want you to think like Christ thought. I want you to think like he thinks. He says, think like Christ. Arm yourself with his mind. In other words, put on the mind of Christ. You know, Paul talks about that over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So there is a mindset that you and I are going to have to possess. Well, what is that mindset? That is the mindset that Christ had. Well, what was Christ's mindset? His mindset was that he would suffer and that he would cease from sin. Now, we understand that Christ had no sin, but he took upon himself our sin. And because of that, he had to die. He had to become that perfect sacrifice because of our sin. He gave up his life. He was willing to do that. His mindset was, I am willing to go to the cross. Now, do you and I have that kind of mindset? Is our mindset that I'm willing to suffer whatever the cause, whatever the reason, I'm willing to suffer. He says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. There will come a time when you will cease to sin. But as long as you are in the flesh, you're going to sin. But there will come a time when you die, you will cease to sin. It was only in Jesus' death that he was able to put an end to the sin. You and I got to have that mindset that I am going to go even if it comes to death. Only then will I cease to sin. But I want you to notice verse number 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the will of men. Peter says, you need to have a mindset that you are not going to live the rest of your life sinning. That ought to be your mindset this morning. That I'm not going to live the rest of my life to the will of men. I'm going to cease from sin. I'm no longer going to sin. My mindset is that I'm not going to sin. And he says, I'm not going to live the rest of my life. Now, for some of us, that is shorter than maybe some of the rest of us. But here's the thing. You don't know. You may be young this morning. You may not have 50 more years. You may only have one day. You may be here this morning and you 80, 90 years old. Well, you probably not going to have 50 more years. Now, I don't know, but you may not. But what Peter says is, I don't care how much longer you got here on this earth. Whether or not you got 10 years, 20 years, 40, 50, 80, 90, he said you ought to have a mindset that I am not going to live the rest of my life to sinning. Yes, now that ought to be your mindset. Right. Whether or not you 18 or whether or not you 88, your mindset ought to be that I am not going to live the rest of my life to sin. Now, that was Jesus' mindset. Why should I do that? You ought not live it to the flesh of men, but your mindset ought to be that I'm going to live the rest of my life to the will of God. Everything I do from this day on, I'm going to do it to the will of God. I'm going to please God the rest of my life. I'm going to live my life to please God, not to sin. And that ought to be your mindset this morning. Peter says, I'm going to do it to please God. But notice verse number 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to the walk of the will of the Gentiles. You know what Peter said? Peter says that you ought to be determined that you want to live the rest of your life to please God because you didn't already had enough time to sin. You didn't already spend enough time sinning. Some of us sin a lot longer than some of the rest of us. But I don't care how long you have lived your life before you became a child of God, Peter said, you have spent enough time. In other words, it suffice. King James used the word suffice. In other words, it's been sufficient. It has been sufficient. If you obeyed the gospel when you were 60 years old, the first 60 years of your life was enough for you to sin. And you ought to be through with it. If you obeyed the gospel when you were 15, those first 15 years of your life ought to have been enough. You ought to have been in sin enough in those 15 years. It is sufficient enough, Peter says. So you, for what you're going to do now, you're going to have a mindset that you're going to live the rest of your life. Whether it's 10 years, 20, or 40, or 50. I'm going to do it to the will of God. And then he gives us several examples, like lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and reveling and banqueting and abominable idolatry, all of these, and whatever else you want to add to the list. You can flip over to Galatians chapter 5 and you read about the works of the flesh. I mean, you can add all of those down through that. So what Peter says is, you have had enough time to drink. Now, why are you still drinking as a Christian? I mean, why are you still getting high as a Christian? Why are you still lying? Why are you still gossiping? He said, you didn't have enough time to do that. Matter of fact, you didn't have sufficient enough time. You didn't have more than enough time to do all these things. Now, why you want to keep fornicating? I mean, you did that before you became a Christian. I mean, why you want to keep committing adultery? You did that before you became a Christian. Peter said you had enough time to do all of that. Now it's time for you to stop. And you need to live the rest of your life not to the will of men, but to the will of God. From this day forward, you ought to be able to please God in everything you do. In every place you go, you ought to be willing and able and want to please God. But then there's number four. Verse 4 says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive route, speaking evil of you. Have you ever noticed people that you used to run with? Now, I did say used to. You don't still do that now, I know, right? But don't they think it's strange that you're not still going to the clubs with them no more? You're still not going to the parties with them. I mean, they think it's strange that you don't do that with them no more. When you tell them, no, I have a different mind now. I have taken on the mind of Christ. I'm living the Christian life. They think it's strange that you don't still run with them no more. That they're going to start speaking evil, Peter says, of you. So who do you think you are now? Think you better than we are? And then they start bringing up your past. You know, Brother Joe, and I have folks say, not now, because I've been preaching over 37 years, but that's when I was a little boy when I started, right? But I remember when I first started in the ministry, some of the friends I used to run with, they said, oh, we hear you a preacher now. Oh, so you preaching now. I remember when. Well, you know, that used to bother me. I used to get all bent out of shape. I used to get all upset when folk would say, I remember when. But then I learned that that's really a compliment. Now I take that as a compliment. When a person says, well, I remember when you used to run with us. Thank God they remember when. Thank God that was then and it's not now. Now, I would have a problem if they say, oh, you still do the same thing. Now, then I would have a problem. But as long as they say, I remember when, that lets me know that they know that I'm no longer doing it now. And that's where you got to get to. You got to get to where you're not running with them no more. And then they're going to think it's strange. And then they're going to start speaking evil of you. But verse 5 said, who shall judge? Or who shall give account unto him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Peter said, don't you worry about them. Let them say what they want to say. Let them act how they want to act. Just remember this, God is ready to judge them. They're going to have to stand before God just like you will have to stand before God. He says, God is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Verse 6 says, for this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch and pray. And above all things, now here's what Peter says. Peter says you have the mindset of Christ. Believe like Jesus believed. Respond like Jesus responded. Like Jesus act. Yes, sir. Think like Jesus think. And I want you to be watchful. I want you to be sober. I want you to be vigilant. But above all things, above your watchfulness, above your soberness, above your vigilantness, above your proudness, he says, above it all, here's what I want you to do. Above all things, I want you to have fervent charity. One version says, I want you to keep fervent charity. See, that word fervent there, actually, it's a different word. You read that word fervent, different times in your New Testament, many times it carries with it the idea of something being on fire, it being to boil or to be hot, okay? Fervent. But Peter uses a different word here. Peter doesn't use the word that talks about being hot or being on fire or to boil. He uses the word that carries with the idea of stretching. He uses the idea of a horse in a race. And this horse is running the race, and this horse is stretching for the finish line. Here's what Peter says. Peter says, when it comes to loving, there are some folk you're going to have to scratch to love. You're going to have to give it all you got, because some folks are just not lovable. Some folk are harder to love than others. And I don't care how hard it is for them to love. You got to scratch to love them. Now, if you got the mindset of Christ, you're going to scratch. How far did Christ scratch to love you? How far did he scratch? He scratched his arms. Why? Because he loved you. He was willing to scratch him as far as he could and be nailed to the cross. That's how much he loved us. His mindset was, I will scratch him out, Father, because I love him. Peter says, you're going to have to keep fervent love, fervent charity. Why, Peter? Because you're going to have to scratch to love. Now, keep in mind, he says, above all things, you do this. You can pray all you want, but you better be willing, above everything else you do, you better scratch to love each other. Well, why should I do that, Peter? Peter said, because love covers a multitude of sin. Not saying love covers up sin, but it covers a multitude of sin. Well, what is Peter saying? Peter says, love don't stir up sin. In other words, it's sort of like he says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 7, love keepeth no record of wrong. And don't keep stirring up one's past. That's what love will do. You won't keep reminding me of what I used to be. I won't keep reminding you of what you used to be and how you used to live. Love don't do that. Love covers a multitude of sin. What is your mindset this morning? Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you have the mind that you're willing to give up sin, that you are no longer going to live the rest of your life sinning, but you want to start right now living your life to the will of God? Well, how do I do that, Brother Booker? You simply do that by understanding that Jesus died for you. He loved you that much that he gave his life for you. Now, do you believe that this morning? Your mindset ought to be, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you must be willing to repent of your sins. Confess him before this audience, and we'll baptize you this morning. Go down in the water, come up out of the water, a new creature in Christ. Have your sins washed away, and you become a new creature in Christ. Will you do that this morning? Will you let that be your mindset, that I'm going to give my life to Christ? Amen. Oh, you may be sitting there this morning and say, well, you know, Brother Booker, I enjoy sin. And I'm not going to deny that there's no pleasure in sin. You can enjoy it. But let me tell you this. Even though there's joy in it, one day you're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to give an account. You have to stand before God. Why not make up your mind right now that my mindset going to be, I'm done with it. I have lived long enough. It had been sufficient, the number of years I've been sinning. And now I'm going to give my life to God. Amen. Whether or not you young, whether or not you middle age, or whether or not you seasoned, it really doesn't matter. It amazes me how sometimes I see people that's senior citizens that, you know, they own up in years. I can say senior citizen because, see, now I got my own AAARP card. I guess to somebody I'm a senior. But it amazes me how folks have lived 50, 60, 70 years, and they are still out there sinning. Like they're not going to die. I mean, you didn't spend 60 years of your life sinning. Don't you feel like it's about time now you give that up? Peter said, it had been suffice. Live the rest of your years to please God. Don't go through all your whole life. But don't you take that the wrong way, young folk. Don't you take that the standpoint I'm saying, wait till you get 60, then give your life. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying if you 10, 11, 12, 15, 20, I don't care what your age is. However old you are, you didn't already spent enough time sinning. Already. Give your life to Jesus. If you're here not a member of the body of Christ, why not come? If you are here and you're falling by the wayside, your mindset hadn't been that of Christ. You hadn't had that mind. But now you want to have the mind of Christ. I want you to have that opportunity. Why not come right now and we together stand and sing?
Tenderly upon your ear, He is right above it, pick on it,
turn and listen,
stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden on me, upon your dear Lord's rest, ye that labor and
you'll come this morning. Lean up on the dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor
and are heavy laden.